Henry Nouwen is one of the great spiritual writers and speakers of our own time, and I would recommend his stuff to any of you. And in 1985, disillusioned, spiritually exhausted by his crushing teaching and speaking schedule, Henry Nouwen resigned as a professor of Harvard University, and he went, spiritually exhausted again, to join the L'Arche community in Trosly, France. This was the first of 100 such communities called L'Arche that was founded by Jean Vanier. Jean Vanier is one of the great prophets, one of the great thinkers, one of the great innovators of our church today, a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. And he founded these communities where mentally and physically disabled folks and those who serve them live together in community. And this is where Henry Nouwen met Adam Arnett. Adam couldn't speak, can't speak. Adam can't move without any kind of help. And gripped by these frequent seizures, he lives a life of total obscurity. But in his final book that he wrote, Henry Nouwen talks about becoming the caregiver of Adam, and that he would be dressing him, washing him, feeding him, making sure he takes all his meds, transporting him in his wheelchair wherever he needed to go, taking care of therapy for him. And Henry Nouwen, being an academic who lived in the academic community, was terrified to becoming this caregiver for Adam Arnett. And yet here, Nouwen, who was a priest, says his experience of caring for Adam Arnett absolutely changed his life and gave him a deeper and new understanding of his faith. And for the first time in his life, what it meant to live in community. And in his book called Adam, God's Beloved, Henry Nouwen writes this: Adam's humanity was not diminished by his disabilities. Adam's humanity was a full humanity in which the fullness of love becomes visible to me and for others who grew to know him. Adam couldn't say, "I love you." He couldn't embrace me spontaneously or express gratitude in words. Still, I dared to say we loved each other. We were friends. We were brothers, bonded in our hearts. Adam's love was pure and true. It was the same as the love that was mysteriously visible in Jesus, which healed everyone who touched him. Adam was so fully alive to me, and he shed light on all these questions. This experience cannot be understood by some logical explanation, but rather in and through the spiritual bonding of two different people who discover each other as completely equal in the heart of God. From my heart, I could offer him some care that he needed. From his heart, he blessed me with a pure and lasting gift of himself and a friendship. I want to share with you another story that of a movie that I saw a long time ago. And for the young folks here, I would kind of recommend it. I think the older folks have probably seen the movie somewhere along the way. The movie is called Brian's Song. And it's a story of Brian Piccolo, who played football for the Chicago Bears but contracted cancer. And Gale Sayers, who I'm thinking most of you know as a Hall of Fame running back for the Chicago Bears, who actually I saw him play one time, the Steelers, a long time ago. In the game I went to, he ran back the opening kickoff for a touchdown. So I wasn't a great fan in those days, but what a remarkable, remarkable man. And this is way back in 1964. Brian Piccolo was a white man, and Gale Sayers is a black man. And this is the first time in history that a black man and a white man ever roomed together in sports. And so everybody was looking and said, what's going to happen with this? Now, Brian Piccolo contracted his cancer, and eventually he died. And Gale Sayers won this award called the very prestigious George S. Hallage Man of Courage Award. And whenever I want to share with you his address that he gave, a part of it that he gave at that award. Now, I'm watching this movie, folks, and at this point in the movie, I'm sort of crying my eyes out, you know, with all this, because first of all, the love between these two men, how they really cared for each other. And I got to tell you that Gale Sayers is a very quiet man, a very introverted man, difficult time speaking in public ever at all. And he said this: "You flatter me by giving me this award, but I tell you here and now that I accept it for Brian Piccolo. Brian Piccolo is a man of courage who should receive the George S. Halas Award. I love Brian Piccolo. I would like you to love him too. Tonight when you hit your knees, please ask God to love him too." It was an incredible moment in the movie for all of you that saw it, and for young folks who should see it. Not because it was a story of a white man and a black man who are friends together, but it was a story about relationships. And when Gale Sayers says, "I love that man, I love Brian Piccolo," all of a sudden deep inside you know that something's right about that. Something's good. Something's true about all that. So why the stories? Why these stories? Because they're stories about relationships. And you and I are hardwired to be in relationships. Just think about it for a moment. Aren't you and I always at our best when our relationships are good and they are right and they are true? And flip that over. Aren't we usually at our worst, our least human, our least selves, when our relationships somehow have gone bad? Isn't it the worst pain that we suffer in life? Broken relationships. What do we do to prisoners when we really, really want to get them? When we really want to punish a prisoner, what's the one thing we always do? We put them in solitary confinement, away from all relationships. And I'm sure everybody here over the age of 21 knows what it's like to somewhere along the way have a failed relationship and how much that wounds you and hurts you to have had that experience in your life. And my point is simply this: you and I are never made to be solitary. You and I are made for relationships. You and I exist through relationships. You and I become ourselves through relationships. Why is that? It's because of this feast of the Holy Trinity that we celebrate here today. We are made in God's image and likeness, and God is relationships. The Trinity tells us that our God isn't solitary like the pagan gods. Our God isn't mean. Our God isn't cruel. Our God isn't immoral like the Greek and Roman gods were. Our God is a God of relationships. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bonded together by love. You and I are made, therefore, in God's image and likeness. So no wonder you and I are at our best. We are most alive. We are most human. We are most godlike when you and I are in right relationships. And once again, we are least ourselves, most unhappy whenever we are in broken relationships, relationships that don't work. We're out of sync with God. We're out of sync with the Trinity, whose image we are made. So no wonder it's all wrong for us when our relationships aren't true, when they aren't authentic, when they aren't right. When they aren't right, it goes against our grain deep inside of us because of who we are. And finally, no wonder every songwriter, every poet that's ever lived since human beings lived on the face of this earth have tried to make sense of this remarkable love that we celebrate here today, which is manifested to us in the life of the Trinity. Without love, without relationships, you and I are the most restless a bunch. We're just restless people. We are not meant to be in solitude. We are not meant to tolerate being in isolation. So the next time someone asks you as a Christian, what is the whole idea of the Trinity? What's that all mean? Don't say something like, well, it's a mystery and I don't know. And it's because it's the central thing of our faith. And don't get into some kind of abstract nonsense, you know, that just goes off and gives everybody a headache. When someone asks you about the Trinity, you can simply say something like this. It's about God. It's about me. It's about relationships. I am who I am because God is who God is. Amen.